stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5 for service and devotion. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and you never get the credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you. There's a better life and you think about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it, and you spend your life putting money in your wallet. 9 to 5, oh, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you. There's a better life and don't dream about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it, and you spend your life.
Well, y'all recognize that one. You recognize. Uh-huh. Well, we're gonna have a problem with the microphones, so just a minute. How about this?
Hi, folks. Okay, community radio at its best. Community. It's about communications. You know how those go. As a matter of fact, my first guests are gonna be talking about that, sorta, or sordid, I'm not sure. It's Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and glad to be here. And it's a gorgeous sunny day in Astoria. Well, it is now, and the rain has been wonderful, nourishing people and the land. It's what we all need. Maybe cool some heads down, too. So I'm going to send this show, as I always do, for peace and healing to all parts of the world. In some traditions, mine, for example, this is the end of the year. The new year starts a week from tonight. Go figure. Well, there is a reason. Autumn is the most special time of the year. So we're going into a new year soon, and I can only hope. I can hope. I also can do lots of other things, and so can we all. So let's make sure we get out in the streets. We write, we call, we communicate with friends and neighbors we don't even know, but we suspect might be open to talking about how to make this world more livable and the way it needs to be for everyone, children, of course, but all of us. Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Haiti. the United States of America. Get together. Get our acts together. Have some also wishes still going out to the people of Colombia and Venezuela and Indonesia, whose lives were upturned by the extraordinary power of nature, not helped by man, doing things that only we can do that help destroy. And to Nepal and Tibet, very precious to me, parts of the world. And more personal, to Bob and Vivian and Donnie, and to Wendy, to Robert and Janet, Noel and Karen, sending healing wishes, body, spirit, mind, and heart, to Hope and Gina and Gail, Jean and Carl and Luann, Patty, Issa, Riva, Ted, Victoria, and you and me, and all who are in need of healing. I suspect that's all of us. Well, that's one of the things that you get here from this show, hopefully. I do. It is so much fun to do this show. I get to meet some of the most creative, outrageous people and learn so much. My first guests here are involved in a romantic comedy. Not with each other, but they will be telling you. This is opening at the Coaster, not tonight. No, no, no. The Coaster always has an interesting schedule. And I have here the executive director of the theater, and in this case, the director of romantic comedy, and that would be Pat. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much for having us. We really appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, hold on. Get close. Sorry.
Hi, Carol.
Keep going.
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much for welcoming us to your show.
Well, there is something wrong with our microphones. Try mic two.
Hi, Carol.
That one works. Okay. We're going to be winging it here, but as I said, the most creative people. So, there. You know what? Why don't you bring a chair here and share my mic? Okay, so that's two on each mic. We lost a couple of mics between, I don't know when, but they're gone. So come nice and close. So Patrick is directing the play as well as executive director of the Coaster Theater. And I will introduce the other guests and then you guys can take it away on who's telling what. Maybe Patrick give an overview. So I have sharing the mic with Patrick is Kathy Warnert playing Blanche. I don't have a last name for Blanche. Does she get one or?
Daily.
Oh, okay. You know, sometimes women don't get last names in these things, like the Bible. Okay. And sharing my mic is Margo McClellan playing Phoebe Craddock. Is that
yes,
right?
Phoebe Craddock. Yes.
Okay. Let me take a look at you. Vermont school teacher. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, folks, if you saw what I'm seeing, you might wonder, too. But in the meantime...
Most of that's covered with costumes.
Oh, okay. Actually, there are some beautiful tattoos in the room. I won't say whose, but not mine. Okay. So, Patrick, it's opening tomorrow night, and it runs through the... What's the full time?
October 17th it closes.
Okay. But every weekend is different, folks. So I highly recommend you go to the coastertheater.com that's R-E, website, and click on it, click on calendar or on tickets, somehow or other, figure out when you're going to go, because it's a nice long run. It's just that it's all over the place.
Yeah, we have a couple of Thursdays, we've got a couple of Sundays, but one of the Sundays is at a different time than the other Sunday, and all sorts of things.
I love it. Okay, so tell us, you've got one matinee only, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, only one, sorry about that.
That's okay. It's an adult show anyway.
It is.
Okay, so Patrick, tell us about this romantic comedy. I've got my own ideas,
sure.
But let's hear you first.
It's written by Bernard Slade in 1983.
Okay.
The first we meet the characters, it's the mid-60s. And then when we see them again, it's the mid-70s. And it is a typical romantic comedy. People meet. Circumstances don't allow them to get together. So things become unrequited. Tensions build. Eventually it erupts. And after it erupts, then things change and they come back, and then it's new and different, and it all ends happily as a romantic comedy usually does.
Oh, that's good to hear, because I wasn't so sure about that, considering who some of the characters. The women are fine. Well, as far as I know, I'm not so sure about Blanche, actually. We're going to find out.
I'd say all the characters are really very, very interesting, which is part of the appeal of the show. Is really, as I was talking earlier, it's not a slapstick comedy. Mm-hmm. It's more like No Coward. It's very witty, and the relationships between the characters are what really bring the humor to it.
Well, the description I'm going to tell of Jason Carmichael, played by Bennett Hunter, whom many of us locals have watched grow up in local theater, which is so exciting, and look forward to seeing him. How old is he now, ish?
Ooh.
Any idea?
Late 30s, maybe?
Is he? Oh, my. Maybe. Well, he may have looked younger when he
started. Yeah, he still looks young.
Okay. And just a few words written about him. Arrogant, self-centered, sharp, tongued. And Kathy, I understand he's your guy. Well, your client.
Yes, I play his agent, his best friend, his mother figure, his drinking buddy, his lion tamer.
Now, tell us he's a writer, but tell us why you're his agent.
Well, I was a Old Follies girl, and to stay sort of in the business, I have become, and there's really never any explanation given of why, but my theory is that I try to hook up with the best writer and, you know, or writers, and he just falls into that category. He's brilliant, but very difficult.
Difficult.
Yes.
That's what I got. I'm not so sure about the brilliant, but we'll take your word for it. Of course, he's your client, so what else are you going to say? However, part of the ROM part is yours. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you are Marco McClellan playing Phoebe Craddock, Vermont school teacher, Vermont, my heart home, one of them, and budding playwright.
Yes.
So, you also somehow hook up with this guy.
Well, yes.
Wait, that word hook up these days means something, I don't know. So you establish a relationship.
Yes. Phoebe has admired Jason pretty much her whole life. She's idolized his talent. She's always admired. She's seen all of his plays 28 times.
Oh,
and so she finally gets a meeting with him because she wrote a play herself and wants to know what he thinks of it.
Now, where is this play supposed to be taking place?
New York.
Okay. Okay, so you come from Vermont, the pure state, to New York.
Yes.
But there's another woman involved, too.
Allison, yes.
And who is Allison?
Allison is the fiancée and later the wife.
Uh-huh.
And the actress also plays a third character, a second character, which is an affair that Jason has.
Yes.
Whoa, so she gets to be his mistress and his girlfriend and
exactly.
his wife.
Yeah.
And who is that?
That's Maureen Andronis.
Okay. So you're the ingenue, presumably.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about all this? I mean, you're starstruck.
Yes.
You have this opportunity, and I understand you spent quite a few years working together.
Yes, 14 years.
Oh, my God.
Basically,
And what are your expectations in this relationship?
Well, Phoebe comes in very naive. She's a little bit goofy and awkward, you know, but she very much wants to make a name for herself. And she, of course, looks to Jason as like her idol, her mentor. And when he asks her to work with him, she is just awestruck mm-hmm. and she can't believe it. So her expectations are that she will learn from him and grow and maybe produce things with him.
That's it.
I don't know if she's always been attracted to him, but she develops an attraction to him, mm-hmm. and it is mutual.
Ooh,
and that's while he is married, so that creates complication.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Here's the rom-com part.
Completely.
It's true.
Yes.
And Kathy, as Blanche Daly, the best friend, drinking buddy, agent, what do you think about all this?
Well, my job is to keep him on the straight and narrow, focused, and I'm all in on helping Phoebe to keep the train on the tracks. And the train falls off the tracks many times throughout the play. I'll tell you, the dialogue in this play is fantastic. It's fast-paced, nice. And each scene leaves you with a little cliffhanger mm-hmm. that you can't wait for that curtain to reopen again.
Nice.
It's great.
Nice. Patrick, did you choose this play?
Our plays are chosen by a committee.
Okay.
And then the selection is taken to the board, and the board votes on the selections.
So what was the concept? Was the coaster looking for comedy?
In the fall, we can do, our shows are picked based on the season.
Right.
Certain seasons draw particular audiences, mm-hmm. particularly in Cannon Beach, because 70% of our audiences are tourists who
right.
are there one time and one time only. So in the fall, we found a little more adult piece,
mm-hmm.
a piece we can do a little heavier piece, something that doesn't need to be quite as light, quite as farcical, quite as comical as during the summer and spring.
Okay. And had you put in to direct?
No, actually, this is my my third show I've directed this year. I direct the kids' show.
Oh, wow.
And then I lost a director for Bloomsday, so I directed Bloomsday.
That was great.
Oh, thank you.
I loved it.
And then I lost my director for this one, so I ended up directing this one all. But it's been a lovely experience. And then I'll be directing The Wizard of Oz, which auditions are coming up in September.
And is that the Christmas, the holiday play?
That's our holiday show, yes.
Oh, terrific. Wizard of Oz. Good choice. Okay. So we said it's an adult content. Is there sort of an age thing?
Not really. There's a little bit of language and mm-hmm. a certainly sexual innuendo and things like that, but nothing that really you wouldn't hear on television.
And no physical violence.
No physical violence.
To me, that's the part that should keep the kids out.
Yeah.
The rest of it is, as you say, on TV. Okay. Well, it's opening again tomorrow, the 5th. I actually wrote down all the dates, and then I realized that's ridiculous for me to try to tell you people. But I can say, if the only day you can go is a Thursday, you're in luck. actually one of those.
Yes, one of them is pay what you will. So you can pay as little as $5 and on the day of the show by calling the box office or coming directly to the box office. That particular show is also our KMUN night. On that evening, we KMUN works with us to help sell tickets, and then we share the profit with them.
Okay, so people, go that night.
But
don't pay $5. pay $50, knowing that some of that's going to go to KMUN. Are you still 436-1242?
That's the box office. Yes.
Okay. You know, nobody even uses those numbers anymore.
And to be honest, our phone line is not good right now, so a lot of people are frustrated. It's almost better to either email us or to just go online.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, the Coaster Theater with an R-E and in Cannon Beach. And it is happening for a nice long run. So catch this delightful show. Can two writers of rom-coms make real life as, quote, exciting? I wasn't so sure how exciting it's going to be. It's going to be scary for some of us. Perfection on stage romance. Okay, well,
could I mention one other thing?
Please do.
I want to give a shout out to our other cast member who is played by one of your own, Tim, who plays Leo,
yes.
And he is a love interest of Phoebe's. So,
okay.
That makes it even more complicated. So,
okay. So Phoebe's got a couple of love interests.
Yes, yes.
She's not such an ingenue. Forget about that.
Not always.
What about Blanche? Do you get to have any love in, or just you're the good friend?
Carol, you're going to have to come
and
see.
Oh, God. I think that's the best advice. Thank you so much for coming in. You bet. Romantic comedy directed by Patrick Lathrop, who is also the executive director of the Coaster, and with Margo McClellan as Phoebe Craddock, the not-so-ingenue, but a playwright, and Kathy Warner, Blanche Daly, the agent, friend, drinking buddy. I like that one, too. Thanks so much for coming in. And you, too, women, break your legs. Patrick, don't.
Thank you.
Take care. Hopefully, I've got music for you, and my next guest will be in. This is KMUN Astoria, Arts Live and Local. Carol here, and if we're lucky, we're going to hear some Mel Brown B3 Organ Trio. Gorgeous, huh? That's Mel Brown, B3 Organ Trio, with Summertime Just in Time at the 1905. I shouldn't have said at, because when my guest Bruce told me about it, because that was his choice to play, I said, wait, Mel Brown wasn't around in 1905. What are we talking about? So, Bruce, what are we talking about? Carol, Mel Brown.
We're talking about Mel Brown and the 1905 Carols, a jazz club in Portland, in the Mississippi District.
Why, is that the address or something?
Yes, that's the address. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough, like the 1015 Theater. Okay, yes, that very familiar voice is Bruce Watts, who has his own show every other Thursday evening, Dr. B. And I have to admit, I enjoy the show, but my favorite is when it's pledge drive and Bruce and his daughter have a competition, a funk off. Gotta make sure you pronounce it loud and clear, right? Because the show is funk music, and it is a hoot. Oh, did I mention Pledge Drive? 2 weeks from today is my Pledge Drive show. Pledge Drive starts on the 15th and goes through the 22nd. Call in anytime, or go online, or bring in a check, whatever you want to do. Please, please support us, because you know what's going on in this country and how important local radio, including our fabulous news department, which brings us really local stuff, which you're not going to get anywhere else except right here. Also right here, I don't know if you're going to get it anywhere else except at the Little Island Creamery, is happening this fabulous music. And here with Bruce is Kathleen McDonald, who is the proprietor of the Little Island Creamery. I'm not quite sure what's happening at the Creamery these days. I do want to first give my condolences on your brother's death. Dick started, I think, the Creamery, and he passed in April, so I'm glad that you came up and made it a family affair.
Yeah.
So tell us what's going on.
I'll let Kathleen tell you a little bit about the Creamery, and then I'll tell you about our special guest, Mr. Mel Brown.
Sounds good. And by the way, is this part of the Jazz on the River series?
Yes, it is. Definitely.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen things before, folks, in different places. So, Kathleen, where are we at with the Little Island Creamery, and where is it?
Okay, Little Island Creamery is on Little Island, which is really a separate island, but it is considered also part of Puget Island in Kathlamet, and it's 26 miles downriver from here in Astoria. Mm-hmm. It's a great ferry ride there, and takes you right to the island, and it's very easy to find us once you're on the island. We're a big white barn. As you mentioned, my brother founded Little Island Creamery. There were a couple of us. I was happily minding my business in Portland. But my brother and I were always a team. And that's so sweet. We always would do projects together and things like that. And so we always loved doing that. I was happy just being sort of a background voice until I got a phone call from him about 8 years ago and asked me to come and help him. And my husband and I had bought property there quite a bit long. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's about 34 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we were familiar with it, but not as much as we are now.
I bet.
And so my brother actually, we call it the accidental creamery because he just kind of looked across the highway and saw this derelict dairy and didn't want the land subdivided, so he bought it.
Oh.
And then we sat and went, well, now what? And here we are, 11 years later.
And wait, that derelict building is the fabulous, gorgeous,
yes,
quote,
yeah,
barn,
yeah,
performance space. Holy cow, it is beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Thank you. He always, I mean, whatever he did, it was always top notch. Originally, you could milk 54 cows in that barn, and now we only milk 4 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And our limit is 8. We are a small batch farmstead creamery, so we do make our own milk. We make our own cheese, and we have expanded. We started out, I think, with 35 acres, and now we're increasing little by little. I think we've got about 100 acres now, but we are on an island, so we're going to run out.
Right.
We
right.
do sell our cheeses and butter and ice cream and our beef locally from mm-hmm. our own store, but we do sell here in Astoria and all the way down to Rockaway and elsewhere. Nice. And
so we
have a fabulous performance space.
Yes, you do. But what a life change from Portland. La 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 la, buy some beautiful land. And now you've got a dairy and a creamer and
I know
and a performance venue.
His career was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to, when we bought our property, he wanted to buy some adjacent to us. So he did. And uh-huh. that's how all this happened. And he would come out for summers until he finally retired. So I'm really proud of what he did. The creamery really exists just for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to be part of the community.
And you do lots of stuff there.
We do. We have a really great 4-H program called the Jerseys because we milk Jersey cows. We do dance classes. We have cultural history things. We've got a really great book talk coming up in a couple of weeks with mm-hmm. local authors. And we do other concerts and things like that. The barn has been completely remodeled and...
Yeah.
The barn is beautiful. It was built by a boat builder, and so it has fabulous acoustics
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just the perfect place to have these sorts of events. And we're really, really honored to be able to work with Bruce mm-hmm. and with the Astoria Jazz Festival and do jazz on the river. And it's really an honor. So I'm just really excited that we can continue on doing this. Nothing is changing other than my workload got a little heavier. But nothing is changing. Yeah. We expect to be there for a long time.
And it's good you're so young. Okay, Bruce, do you want to take it from there?
Well, this year, this is the third year we've partnered with Little Island Creamery for Jazz on the River. And literally, Jazz on the River, this is really on the river.
Yes. I've been, for full disclosure, I was there a couple of years ago, I think, and I'd never been. I've taken that ferry, but I'd never been to that space. I was blown away
it's
by
beautiful.
Everything, the whole
it's
thing.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Yeah. So
this year, we have the grandfather, the gentleman who's considered the grandfather of Portland jazz, Mel Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing his two sidemen with him, Louis Payne and Renato Carrata. And we're going to have an incredible afternoon.
Go ahead.
It's a little unique because we're starting at 1. There'll be a tour of the creamery. and folks can get an idea of what an actual working creamery looks like.
Which is very cool because your brother took me on a private tour down there. Yeah, he said, do you really have cows? Because the understanding was these concerts have to be at the time when the cows aren't being milked.
That's right. That's exactly.
Can't disturb the cows.
Yes.
So he took me on the bottom floor and I got to see all that. So it's quite the place. So people can come at one?
People can come. We want people to come at one.
Okay.
And take a tour. At two, we're going to serve a fabulous meal.
Yeah.
Done by the one of our premier chefs in the area, Jordan Wilson.
Of Surf and Soul.
Surf to Soul. One of the top.
Wonderful.
One of the top food carts in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah. One of the. Fantastic. I think out of the 50, he's number 26 in the country.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
That's amazing.
He's number one locally, but.
Well, I remember when he came. And I interviewed him, not on the radio, just standing in front of the cart. Oh. Who are you?
Yeah,
where
what
did
are you,
you
doing
come
here?
From? And what's the story? Yeah. And yeah, because he's got quite a fabulous
and
background.
He gets it's almost a farm to table dinner.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it is
great.
I mean, people. Not only is the music going to be good, but the food is going to. I mean, the combination of the two. Well, you have. The venue, the food, and the music. The combination of the three is just incredible.
So this is happening this Sunday from 1 to 5 or 1 to whatever time.
We have to be out of there sometime around 5 because we can't disturb the milking
that's
of the cows.
There you go.
I learned that the first year.
That's
a hard and fast.
That was really, I thought it was a joke, but when I saw the setup, I realized it was true. So, and if people can't get there quite that early, the come anytime between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But at 2, the dinner starts being served.
2, we start the meal.
And then music?
Music's going to start at 3.
3, okay.
And we'll run it till about 5.
Sounds great.
And then we have to, like we said, got to get out because there's cows.
So Mel Brown has been, did he grow up in Portland?
Mel Brown was born and raised in Portland.
Okay.
Went to Portland State.
Wow.
And then, this is an interesting story, Mel played a lot with local bands, and then he decided he'd move up to Vancouver, B.C.
Oh, huh.
In Vancouver, B.C., he was playing a gig, and Martha Reeves, Martha the Vandellas.
Oh,
remember?
Yes.
Martha heard him and asked him to join her band.
Oh, my gosh.
So he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha was with, at that point, Motown.
Okay, yep.
And so he became a Motown session drummer.
Wow.
And he recorded with, you ready for this? Martha and the Vandellas, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, Marvin Gaye. And he even toured 2 years with Diana Ross.
Wow.
So Mel really,
idea. Yeah.
In 1993, he moved back to Portland and made it his permanent home. He has been playing regular club dates and leading his own groups for years.
Yeah.
And he is considered, as I said, the godfather of Portland jazz.
Wonderful.
And he and the musicians he's bringing with him, they play with him all the time. Louis, known as King Louis Payne, and Renato Corato are incredible musicians. So the three of them make some wonderful music.
Well, it's going to be a gorgeous day.
Yes.
And actually, the weather doesn't matter because the happenings are indoors.
Yes.
But depending on where you live, you can come down, take the Westport Ferry, or you can get there from Astoria, I gather.
Yeah, you can get there by driving across the bridge and then going up Highway 4, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Highway 4 to Cathlamet, and then just drop on down and follow the signs.
Wonderful. Little Island Creamery. Even the name is adorable. Well, it you didn't name it, though. Because, I mean, you didn't give the name. Little Island. I see there's a road there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was, but it's perfect. Little Island Creamery. Sounds like, what's her name in PEI? Anne of Green Gables. Yeah. It can be Kathleen of Little Island. Yeah. Okay, folks, this is this Sunday. What's the website for Little Island Creamery?
It's littleislandcreamery.net.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're also on Facebook.
Okay. Good. So check it out. Do people need to get tickets in advance? We don't talk prices, but...
We have a few tickets left. Yeah, let's put it that way.
There's still a few available.
Yeah, okay. There's still a few available, and we'd love to have people show up.
So if you're interested, please go to the website and do it, because, you know, Mel, and with these other amenities, the venue and the food.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm already
salivating, are you?
I love Jordan's stuff. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Kathleen McDonald, the proprietor and farmer. I don't know what you call somebody.
I'm a border collie.
Yeah.
She herds.
That's all I do.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. And Bruce Watts with the Jazz on the River. And what's the name of your show?
Bee's House.
Bee's House.
Keep it simple.
It sounds fabulous. He is, and fun, too. Yes. So, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And got a little bit more music. And then my last guests are coming in. And this this piece is called Three Canopy. And it is Rachel Sage, who is going to be at Kala on the 10th, which is this Thursday. And that's right here in Astoria. Check it out. She's a New York City award-winning singer, pop folk songwriter with activist roots. KMUN Astoria.
With every beating of my heart, if the world were run by women, there would be an end to war. There would be an end to suffering at the hands of hatred shards. There would be no more buttressing of the vengeance violence starts. Done is cruel. The poison of division will drown you like a fool. Come to me and hold my hand. You don't have to understand. You just have to stand under my canopy. Come to me with open heart. You don't have to even start. You just have to want to heal insanity.
Sage, New York City award-winning folk singer, on Thursday night, the 10th of September, at Kala. And as she said, if women, of course, the right women, the correct women, I should say, and I try not to use the word right these days, ran the world, there would be no more war. and the children would grow up safely. And so would the rest of us. So I'm going to close down Rachel and bring you two other women who really are basically running the world as far as I'm concerned, at least the one who lives here.
That's a reference.
Well, I don't know as much about Starla's life, I must admit. But Kate Gable, as far as I'm concerned, definitely is a powerhouse.
Oh, gosh,
right,
girl.
Here in our...
Are these mics on?
Yes,
that's
they
kind of embarrassing.
Aw, shucks.
That description fits us more clearly, though, so I'm feeling better now.
But I could give a shout-out to my sis, though. She just got the Golden Hammer Award for Ooh. Habitat in the Yakima Valley.
What does that mean?
That for Habitat for Humanity.
Oh,
she's
my gosh.
She's helped with 25 homes over the last decade.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, now I'm getting teary.
It's all about the tool
See?
Belt.
See? Oh, wait. The last person sitting in that seat said she was, what did she say she was? The dog.
A border collie,
a border
didn't
collie.
She say?
Yeah. And now you're all about the tool. Forget it. It's you. And here's the deal. That matches that last song. If the women were running the world.
Yeah.
That the houses would be built, homes, not just houses,
yeah.
And people would have their needs taken care of.
Well, these are homes because the family buys into
are.
The building.
Yeah,
equity. 500 hours of
yeah.
sweat equity
right.
turns into their deposit, so it's a really well-run program.
This is, what's the name?
Habitat for Humanity.
So yeah. it's the same... It's been going a
very long time.
Well, obviously. If
In Yakima since 1942, but...
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's an international organization.
Yeah. It's what President Carter was doing and his wife after he
right,
stepped down.
Right,
yeah.
But if it's 1942, that's before I was even born.
Whoa.
That's really old. And, yes, I know people who have gone to Guatemala with Habitat. Actually, one of our former programmers.
You, where did you go, Scott?
I had an experience in El Salvador for Habitat
yeah.
Built.
Right.
No electricity,
yeah.
mix the concrete by hand, move oh. the blocks with wheelbarrows, et cetera, et cetera.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Starla and Kate, I think Starla is the older sister.
Me.
Oh, you're the older
yeah,
sister.
Yeah, okay, by a year and a half.
Then Kate, oh,
yeah.
barely. So Kate and Starla, because you're the older,
Thank
you get
you.
To go first.
Thank you, Carol.
Are here not because of the fabulous people they are, but because they are also musicians. And this Sunday, I think it's 3 o'clock, is mm-hmm. that right? They will be the musical guests or performers, or I'm not sure, I'll let you describe or use the appropriate word, for Vespers, which Sydney Stevens did educate me some years back, but it's so out of my realm. And the way it's done here is, I believe, different from most places anyway. So... tell us what is happening on Sunday.
It's the last of the season for Vespers, which is held in the Oysterville Church, which is a charming wooden, fantastic venue for sound.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid about being in a church. You can wear what you want.
Oh.
Come as you are.
I've gone to many concerts there, actually.
Yeah, so. And there will be an Oysterville moment. You get a little taste of history, and there's, mm-hmm. there's. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a sermonette. There's just some, someone will say something that will get you thinking,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 45 minutes of music. So
Sounds
that's what it's all about.
Great.
Yeah.
And you are the music
yep.
this time. So how long has that been going, Vespers?
You know, we were just talking about that. I don't know. We think we've sung it about 15 or 16 years of Vespers.
Oh, wow.
I believe it's accurate to say that Sydney Stevens' mother
mm-hmm.
had a hand in developing this program that still
wow.
exists. Now, Sydney's 92?
I don't want to. Oh, dear. I don't know, Sydney. Are we going to get in trouble with you?
She's very proud of her age.
Okay. So it's a very long time that Vespers has been the tradition in the church up there.
So I asked them to come in and maybe give us some music. I'm not sure. Do the people of Vespers tell you what kind of music you need to play?
Not at all.
No.
Oh, there's been all kinds of things, from Broadway tunes to bluegrass to different kinds of impersonation type music. So it's whatever.
So what do you call your music?
We sing folk. That's the era we grew up in. We both taught ourselves guitar in about the fourth or fifth grade, and we were listening to folk music. And then Starla went on to sing with a good friend of ours, Todd Tressler, and they did Peter, Paul, and Mary tunes.
Oh, wow.
And I arranged songs for my Bluebird group, and we sang all kinds of things. So we were both performing in junior high through high school.
Did you usually perform together
We never did.
Well, but here in the studio, we do have proof that they were adorable little children together.
We brought a show and tell. We know this is not the TV.
I'm going to hold it up to the microphone.
Oh, hold it up to the mic,
yes.
Carol.
And folks, it is quite hilarious and adorable. The two of you are so precious with your little curls. And not only that, but the rest of the show and tell is one of the... Now, how come you still have this dress?
I know. This is a problem, really. But
the photo's probably from 1953.
Okay.
And we have matching pink strawberry patterned dresses on, which Carol is holding one up to the mic that you also can't see.
I can't believe it.
Handmade by our mom, Virginia.
I actually have both of them because mom kept them, and then I just couldn't throw them away, of course.
Of course. Yeah. So if you've got...
We won't be wearing those on Sunday, however.
That would be a feat. Okay. Well, how about you play us a tune?
All right.
And if there's anything you want, tell us about it. Do otherwise.
Well, we mashed up two things.
Okay.
We have a song called Hard Times, which was written in 1854 by Stephen Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And we're mashing it up with, what is this?
Pack Up Your Sorrows,
which was written by Mimi and Richard Farina.
Oh, okay.
From 1965. They sang it, but Peter, Paul, and Mary actually made it more
popular.
Famous.
Right. So you did a mashup.
We're doing a mashup. We're doing a shortened version of it because there's many, many, many verses of both of these songs. But anyway, here we go. Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times, hard times, come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times, come again no more. No use rambling, walking in the shadows, trailing a wandering star. No one beside you, no one to hide you, nobody knows who you are. Well, if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them. I know how to use them. Give them all to me. Days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. Yes, with a lip song, a sound of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times.
Oh my goodness, that was wonderful, beautiful. As they say, siblings harmonize. It's something very special. That was lovely. So
thanks,
who
Carol.
Who did the arranging there of putting the two together?
I'm not sure. One of us realized that the chord pattern mm-hmm. was the same in both of those songs, which allowed us then to sing the choruses on top of each other without any sort of dissonance, I think
right.
is the right word.
Right.
And they really were kind of talking about similar things.
Yes.
170 some years apart.
And here we are in 2026, and we sure
the
could
same
use
darn yeah. deal. Yep.
Yep, we sure
yep.
could use it.
Yep.
Fabulous. Well, it sounds like Sunday will be an enjoyable, and the space is also very
it's
special.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old wooden building. And yes, it was a church, but it's shaped rather unusually. And it feels really good to be in there when there's fine music.
And
so
there's kind of not a bad seat in the house.
Right, that's no, the weird
really
thing.
Not. Viewing and
yeah.
listening.
I don't understand that because it's such a weird shape, but it works
mm-hmm.
and it sounds good.
Yeah.
So, again, this is way up top in the peninsula, Oysterville. Is there a... No, we're out of time, so I'll just say, folks, find it. If you live locally... You probably know.
3 o'clock.
But is Sandridge Road a good way
yeah,
to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
yeah.
just keep going.
And then
keep
you'll
going.
See a sign for Oysterville. Make a right turn, you'll
yeah,
find it.
Bear right and
yeah.
And
hopefully lots of cars are parked along the street to show you where to stop.
I was going to say carpool because it's a very small town.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
for,
you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
That was a real gift, that music, that particular one right now for the heart. Folks, we're out of time, and so I'll just let you know you're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. Thanks to my guests, Kate and Starla Gable at the Vespers finale at Oysterville Church. And stay tuned. Hope to see you at the Social Justice Book Club. And the silent measure opens at the 10:15. Stay tuned. And stay active.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.
Is Democracy Now!
The Stanford student newspaper sued the Trump administration because non-citizens in our newsroom saw what was happening in the news to Rumeysa Ozturk and to Mahmoud Khalil, and they were frightened to put their name on a story or to go cover the news or to write opinion articles because the chilling effect was so real for them.
The Stanford Daily has won a major free speech lawsuit against the Trump administration. We'll speak with the student newspaper's editor-in-chief. Then Tyson Foods shuts down an Illinois meatpacking plant, laying off 2,500 workers amidst a historic cattle shortage caused in part by drought, and the rising cost of fertilizer and diesel due to the U.S. war on Iran. Then to Danbury, Connecticut,